There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. Producer Darren, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
There was another hearing yesterday, two of them, on the controversial head tax in Seattle. The head tax, which would add a tax per employee per hour that they work, to the tune of $20 million extra a year for Amazon. Amazon's not happy. In fact, lots of businesses aren't happy, from Expedia to Alaska Air to Tableau Software to Real Networks. They all came out with a letter this week saying this tax is misguided. Dick's Drive-In, Rachel's Ginger Beer, came out and said, look, we will happily give to help the homelessness situation here. We just don't want to give it to you because y'all don't have a plan. And we would much rather spend our money giving directly to organizations that are actually on the ground making a difference. And so yesterday they had another meeting, which, by the way, it was scheduled for later in the day, the public comment period, but then they moved it at the last minute to 9:30 a.m., which made it harder for people who are against this tax to actually show up, because it used to be at either 1 or 2 o'clock. But we did find there is some good news, because we don't know how everyone's voting. We have some suspicions. We know Shama Sawant and Mike O'Brien, two council members who are fringe activists, they are in support of the Amazon head tax. But Deborah Juarez, she came out against it after she thanked everybody multiple times for multiple things.
I want to say I'm so impressed with the leadership of Councilmember Gonzalez and Mosqueda and Councilmember Bagshaw, that we went back and we looked at these other issues. Because, as you know, we've come a long way from the original stakeholder group, and we want to thank those folks for coming forward and really framing the issue. And so we've had this iteration of now we're moving forward. And I want to get to yes, but I have to go on the record today that $500 head tax is just too much.
Just too much. All of this is just too much. It's just too much because the business community is not responsible for fixing the problems that the Seattle City Council has created. You can blame Amazon and Expedia and all these companies as much as you want. They did not cause homelessness. They did not cause all this traffic. They did not cause people getting addicted to heroin. You are enabling the people who are addicted to heroin. Your poor leadership on transportation issues has led to more traffic. And your inability to properly handle the growth of the city of Seattle is why we have so much, quote unquote, unaffordable housing. When you charge developers an arm and a leg to build their projects here, those dollars get transferred onto you and me. When you tell developers, oh, no, you can't build more than 7-8 stories high, we're not zoned for that, you keep apartments, empty apartments, off the market. Empty apartments that would create more of a supply to meet the demand. This is some basic economics. But don't tell that to Seattle Councilwoman Sally Bagshaw, who had the audacity to tell businesses this yesterday.
The last thing I want to say is to the business community, folks, I have been reaching out to you since October. I have invited you to come and talk, to make proposals, to be part of the solution. I know there are many.
Okay, hold on, Sally Bagshaw. That's your job. It's not the job of businesses to come up with solutions to city problems. That's not what they're there for. That's not what they should be there for. If they wanted to do that, you know what they would do? They would run for elected office and go up against you, Sally Bagshaw. It is your job to come up with the solutions to problems that you created, not Amazon's. And let's be crystal clear here, because I think there seems to be some misunderstanding. You are trying to bleed them dry. You are trying to take millions and millions and millions of dollars away from those businesses. You go to them. They don't come to you. They don't come to your office. You go to their office. They don't show up at a public hearing where they're given 1 minute to speak next to some dude who just sang in protest about how evil Amazon is. Jeff Bezos doesn't show up to those meetings, nor should he. You have the audacity to say, oh, we've been trying to get you to come to us for so long. No, you haven't. I've talked to a number of business leaders here. And they all pretty much say the exact same thing, which is the Seattle City Council, they keep to themselves, they don't talk to the business community. Did you meet with Dick's Drive-In and Rachel's Ginger Beer about their idea to give directly to some of the charities on the ground? Did you talk to them? I had Ethan Stoll on the show of Ethan Stoll Restaurants. 15 of the best restaurants in all of Seattle was on just on what? Tuesday, Wednesday? Taking the position that, yes, the council's pretty secretive. They don't talk with us. So how dare you? You're an enemy of business. This council is the enemy of businesses. 100%. You can look at how they talk about business, how they treat businesses here, and know that they are the enemies of business. And you think a business will want to come down and talk to you? Why? They don't owe you anything. They're not here to fix your problems. There was a report that came out. Finally, we got our hands on, because they were keeping it secret this entire time. They were citing numbers in the report without actually giving the report out. $54 million spent in 2017 on homelessness prevention. $54 million. Homelessness has gotten worse. Think about that. $54 million paid for the problem to get worse. And it's not worse for a lack of funding. Because we spent about $20 billion over the last two decades on homelessness prevention. We've spent the money. 20% of that $54 million was spent on emergency shelter services. That accounted for only 6% of people actually getting help and getting off the streets. That's an embarrassing statistic. I know that these people want to just keep throwing money at the problem without any actual plan. Has anyone out there heard of the plan for the head tax, like what they're going to do it, use it for? I know that they're saying we're going to build more affordable housing. Where? How? How much? How many? How long does it take? How are you going to make sure that the money that you have is being properly spent? They have no idea. They just came up with the idea that we want more money, and then we'll figure out all the other details around it afterwards.
How are you going to make sure homeless people use it and want to use the housing?
You mean there are more questions that have not been answered?
Yes.
That is so weird, Darren. They don't know what it is they're doing. Understand that these people have been in power. These people have been in power as homelessness has gotten worse. This ideology has been leading the mayor's office and the council's office in Seattle this entire time as homelessness in the region has gotten worse. The 10-year plan of King County to end homelessness resulted in homelessness getting worse. $54 million spent last year, and you're telling me you need a lot more. You're telling me you need between $75 and $150 million more. Maybe the problem isn't the lack of money. Maybe the problem is you. Maybe the problem is you don't know what it is you're doing. You have people like Mike O'Brien who go out of their way to ensure that people can sleep in parks. Because according to him, and according to some of these folks on the council, it is more humane to let people sleep outside in the rain, in the cold, surrounded by human waste and so much garbage. That's more humane than getting people into shelters. And they'll say, oh, but we don't have shelter room. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I'm sick and tired of people using that lie because that is exactly what it is. It is a lie. We do have shelter beds. How do I know? Because I talk to the people who actually run the shelters. Because we do interviews and actually talk to the people on the ground. Mike O'Brien doesn't talk to people on the ground. Shama Sawant doesn't talk to people on the ground because they believe they have all the answers. They believe they're the smartest people in the room. So why would they talk to anybody else? Well, it turns out if they did, if they actually engaged with people in the community, the business community, with some amazing ideas, the people who are working in these nonprofits who are actually on the ground, they have some great ideas and some reality checks for these people. Maybe this problem wouldn't be so bad. But instead of doing that hard work, they jockey for time in front of a TV camera. They go out of their way to ignore outlets that they think are going to push back. I've been trying to have conversations with the council for several months now. Dana Robinson-Sloat, the communications director for the Seattle Council, she ghosts us. She ignores us. She ignores texts. She ignores voicemails. She's not doing her job to connect us with the politicians so we can help keep them accountable. I did something bad this week.
What did you do?
He could have sold it a little bit more like of curiosity.
What did you do that was bad this week?
What did you do, Jason? That was so
what
bad.
Was the horrifying thing that I...
So, it's not bad for me. I should qualify. Okay. It's bad for them. Because for every day that they ignore our requests, I'm putting together a public disclosure request for every single one of the text messages that she sent, all the voicemails that she has, all the emails coming in and out of her office. And I'm just going to publish them online. I'm going to let you do some of the sleuthing for me. The next time I have a story with the council, the next time I want someone to come on, I'm going to allow the audience to make the request on my behalf, because I'm not going to waste my time anymore. But let's see if she starts getting calls from hundreds of people demanding that she actually do her damn job. Maybe things will change. Maybe when those embarrassing text messages she sends out to other reporters as she's trying to throw certain council members under the bus so that she can get certain other council members some better press, maybe that will get her to change her behavior and actually treat us like, oh, like a radio station, like a media organization. It's the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Your text message is at 1-800-465-8770. It's the KTTH hotline. Brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution, 1-800-465-8770. Darren, can I go off script for a moment? Because I want to continue a conversation, or at least an aspect of the head tax stuff. Is that cool?
Yes, that's okay. Cool.
I mean, I don't really need your permission, but...
But you'll be on a timer.
Yeah, okay, fine. I want to talk just about Amazon, like, just part two. Because I truly believe sometimes you need to get really, really drastic to save someone from him or herself. Well, the same goes for cities. Sometimes you need to get really, really drastic to save a city from itself, which is why I think Amazon should actually leave Seattle. I don't want it to leave the region, because they're responsible for hundreds of millions of dollars in just taxes alone. It's responsible for a ton of jobs. I mean, the local economy is good because of Amazon, so I don't want it to leave Washington. But I think they need to punish the city of Seattle and save the city of Seattle at the same time. Because what this council is doing to Seattle and this entire region, because understand that when the council does things like this, it gives ideas to the people in Bellevue and Federal Way and Tacoma and Olympia and Everett. They see what happens. And they end up realizing there are no real consequences to these types of actions, these types of money grabs. And they end up doing it themselves. And they know you guys have jobs, you have lives, you have families that you're focused on, and they usually get away with this kind of nonsense. And I think if Amazon wants to help us, they'll leave us. Because I can think of a lot of other places in Washington State that would treat Amazon well. What about Bothell? What about Tacoma or Redmond? You can still say you're in Seattle, because you know that that's going to get some interest from folks who've never been to the region, won't understand where Bothell is, or Tacoma or Redmond. It doesn't have the same sex appeal to someone who's a coder just coming out of school from UT Austin or Arizona State or wherever. But they need to leave Seattle. Because if this bill passes, they're going to leave anyway. They're not going to leave overnight. They're not going to leave over the course of a few years. They're not going to leave in a traditional sense. They're just going to stop growing here. Headquarters 2, how many places, how many major companies do you know of that have two major headquarters that are equal? I don't know of any businesses that do that. Headquarters 2, HQ 2. Wherever it is, that's where the growth is going to be. And then slowly over time, they're going to start shifting employees to go down there or go over there or go up there, wherever it happens to be. And as a result, we're all going to be screwed. All of us. This is not a Seattle problem. Seattle is the problem. Amazon is not. And so if you're out there, Jeff Bezos, I know he downloads our podcast available at ktth.com or on the iTunes store, which you can just download by searching the name Jason Rantz. I know he listens. Please save Seattle from itself by leaving Seattle and show the council the consequences of their actions so we can get new people in, and then all the other future businesses that would have otherwise suffered had you stayed and got hit with this head tax, they will at least thrive under new leadership. I've got this blog up right now at ktth.com. If you want to read it, send me a text with the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM of the Greater East Side. The current UW College Republicans president is seeking a higher office, elected office. Chevy Swanson just announced he is running for state representative position 2 for the 30th congressional district. That includes Federal Way, Auburn, Des Moines, and Milton, the gem of Pierce County. Chevy joins me in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, thanks for having me out today.
Whenever we say Milton, we have to say the gem of Pierce County, because every time we mention Milton, I'll get a text message that says, shh, don't tell people about the gem of Pierce County. So we do. You're a young dude who's decided I'm going to run for state office.
Yes. I get asked a lot about why I want to run when I'm so young, and I'm sure that was probably one of your questions right off the bat. So I kind of want to jump into that. I've been an activist of sorts on campus for the last 2 or 3 years, and that's been a really important part of my life. But You start to realize once you do activism that it's limited. You could only affect small things, and you could only affect certain things. And on campus, we've started a sort of free speech movement, but there's a lot more issues in our state, a lot more issues in Federal Way, in Milton, and
Gemma Pierce
in all these areas and all of our communities that I'll never be able to touch upon or help out with if I continue to only work through activism. And I think the major thing on that is schools. And that's probably the one thing that most people don't know about me, that I'm very politically involved in trying to support school choice, STEM programs. And I can't do that from the point of view of an activist. Or at least I can't do it as effectively as I would like to.
So be more specific. What specifically would you tackle, let's say, day one in office? What's that issue specifically that you'll go after?
Well, I certainly think that we need to look at what's actually working in schools and what's actually sending people off to colleges, what's actually sending people to graduate in the communities in which the graduation rate isn't super high. And the thing I look into and I see the most success with are after-school programs, STEM programs, and other such things that are increasing the graduation rate immensely. Like, for example, there is one STEM program that I love called FIRST Robotics that focuses primarily on high schoolers and middle schoolers and in these poorer communities, and they've had a great success.
I've
looked up the numbers this morning so I'd have the exact numbers, and I was blown away. They have a 99% graduation rate among the people that are in it. About 90% of people go off to college, and it's increasing, I believe, four times. The people who go into this program are four times more likely to go into engineering programs, which is so very much needed. And it is the best way of working on social mobility is to get people into high-paying jobs. And with programs like these are often people that whose parents are not actually people who have gone to college. Mm-hmm. And then not only are the kids now going to college because they're involved in these programs, they're going into high-demand STEM fields, which is great for the state, great for the students, and great for their families and communities.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Chevy Swanson. ChevySwanson.com for more information on his campaign. He's running for state representative from the 30th Congressional District, a Republican. He's actually the current slash soon-to-be former UW Republicans College president. You're 21, 22?
20, but I'll be 21 by the election day.
So you're really young, and that is going to freak some people out. And so for those who say, look, I like what you stand for, I love that you are an actual conservative, and we need more of those in office, you're too young to know the intricacies of how state government works, how the legislature actually works. What do you say to them?
I don't think most people know the intricacies of how state government works. But the thing is, I don't want to treat this as some entry to be a career politician. I think a lot of people do that, and a lot of people use government and state offices as almost like a retirement plan. Like, I've spent all this time being a lawyer or a doctor, which is most of them, and now I'm going to retire and make the laws, which I don't fully agree with, because I think that it should be treated as public service. It should be something I want to go in, I want to do some of the things I want to do. I want to solve some of the problems that I see, and then I want to go back out and pursue the private career that I'm intended to go into for the rest of my life.
So you'll term limit yourself?
Yes, but maybe I'll support term limiting the others as well.
So let's talk about an issue a lot of folks who listen to KTTH and my show complain about constantly: car tap fees.
Yes.
Way too high. The voters in certain parts of Washington were kind of misled and lied to on how they would actually calculate the value of the cars that we all own. What's your take and how do you fix it?
I believe there was a bill, I don't believe it passed, that would tie it to the Kelley Blue Book value.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great first step, and that's something we need to do, and that's something I'd support as soon as I get into office. And then from there, it's just a shame that didn't go through, and I think that we're going to get through this next session if we get some more people in on the Republican side, and hopefully me.
Do you think Republicans can overtake in the House?
Yes, we're very close. We're, I believe, one or two seats away, and, well, that's me.
Yeah, there you go.
That's me.
That's Chevy Swanson. ChevySwanson.com if you want to learn more about the campaign. Who are you running against? Who are you concerned about, truly concerned?
Well, I'm running against Christine Reeves down there in the 30th. And
the incumbent.
Yes, the incumbent.
And has anyone else announced their campaign?
No one's serious. Someone filed with that little thing that says they're going to raise only $5,000 or less, and you don't run a state campaign on that, so I don't think that's going to be a real campaign. So no, it's just me versus her right now.
Okay. What do you know about her? Why are you unhappy with how she has represented the 30th district?
Well, she has not been very effective. If you look at the bill she sponsored, the bill she's been involved in, and even though her party owns the state house and the entire state government right now, she hasn't been very effective. She hasn't done much. There's been some very small things like license plate changes, like these things that aren't actually helping the community.
Mm-hmm.
They are changes, sure, but not real changes.
This district, I feel like, is more red than its representation would suggest.
It's a pretty moderate district, and yet both of the representatives are voting hard down the blue party line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's representative of such an independent district.
You're running this race. How are you raising money? How's that all going?
Well, right now I'm just talking to people and I'm trying to get donations. I'm trying to do this as cheaply as possible because it really shouldn't be a $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 deal in order to go out and try to help my community. It's outrageous. So I'm going to try to focus more on the cheap things. I'm going to hit people's doors. I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to have cheap events where anyone could come show up and talk to me, or I'll go to people and talk to them, because that's what it is. It's talking to people, and I don't think I need to be spending too much money to go out and say words to people.
Like,
that's not reasonable. It's not something that I want to keep going forth with. It just...
Yeah, and here's expensive. The deal. College students know how to live off of ramen.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I could easily run this a lot cheaper than normal.
Well, and I think that's an important principle to take into office should you be elected, which is, I know how to be effective without spending an arm and a leg of other people's money. I will be a steward, a responsible steward of your tax dollars.
Yeah, this should be the first step. If you can't get elected, or if you get elected by spending $500,000 of someone else's money, I don't know if you're going to be doing so well in office with way more money.
Mm-hmm. Can you handle both being a state legislator and a student or pursuing the next aspect of your career? Because as you point out, you still have learning to do, still want to have a career outside of politics. You're not doing this to be a lifetime politician. Can you do both right now?
I think so. I could take quarters off when I'm in session, and that's not a problem. I have no problem graduating late because it's a worthy goal. Actually helping people, making these changes, is a worthy goal. And if I have to graduate a little bit later, then I don't see a problem with that at all.
Last question for you. How does a 20-year-old become a conservative? Because I know that the work that you do at the University of Washington campus has been rather intense. You've been criticized harshly by your social justice warrior coworkers and colleagues and all that at the school. How did you find yourself to identify with Republican values or conservative values?
Well, it's going to surprise a lot of people, but in high school, I used to be a big Obama fan.
Mm-hmm.
But that ended up changing after I got a little bit more involved. I looked around a little bit more and I researched. And I went to a Rand Paul rally and I was like, this guy makes so much sense. I love this guy. And I started researching a lot more. And then when I got to campus during a really politically charged time, people wanted to argue about politics a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love arguing. It's fun. It's how you learn. And so when people would come up and say, hey, you like Rand Paul, well, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, well, let's talk about this. And I talked with people a lot. And the more I talked to people, it more became clear that I felt really right about what I thought. Now, some things changed, of course. Like, I went from sort of libertarian to a lot more just regular conservative and a lot more social policies that I would agree with the left on and all that. So it was really productive. But in the end, after all this time, all this talking to people, all this being involved, all this being involved with the local party, with activist groups, with all that, I've become pretty strong on my beliefs that conservatism is like the best way to be handling a lot of these local problems. And it's the best way to be handling all these problems in our communities and to support our communities and our families. And I think that's just the best way forward from this point on.
I was like you. I went to school. In college, I suppose at the time I would have defined myself as a liberal or a Democrat before I actually did any of the research. And then when I realized I was in a bunch of college courses with political professors who were telling me that the other side was wrong, I was like, maybe I should actually do the research myself. And then I did the research, and then I found myself saying to myself, yeah, I'm a Republican. Those ideas are so much better. So I also credit my education as a means to turning me into a conservative. So go Tigers at Occidental College. Thank you for turning me into a Republican. I've been talking with Chevy Swanson. He wants to be the next state representative for the 30th Congressional District. That's Federal Way, Auburn, Des Moines, Milton, the gem of Pierce County. He's a Republican. He's running. He's 20 years old. And we're big supporters of young people who decide that they're going to get more active. We've got a relatively good track record. I back Nate Nearing. He's now a county council member in Snohomish. I back Russell Wieda, who is now a Sultan City Council member. So we've been doing really, really well. So now I'm endorsing Chevy Swanson. I hope you don't have anything in like any skeletons in your closet that are going to come back and haunt me for
endorsing
you. I'm going
to put that on my website.
Well, that might actually hurt you.
Yeah.
But we like Chevy. Chevy's running. ChevySwanson.com for more information about his race, his campaign to be the next Republican representative. And this is the actual race that could mean the difference between Republicans gaining control or Democrats staying in control of the House. So it's incredibly important. Chevy Swanson, I appreciate you stopping by.
Yes. Do you mind if I tell everyone my email so that they can email me any questions?
Of course.
So it's really simple. Chevy@ChevySwanson.com. Email me any questions, any concerns. If you want to know how to donate, that's also a great way to message me.
And
thank you
that.
For having me on.
There you go. ChevySwanson.com. Chevy@ChevySwanson.com if you want to reach him directly. You're listening to the Jason Rancher. Live in the Online Trading Academy studio, it's the Jason Rand Show. Rush Limbaugh takes over in about 10 minutes. We have some developing news. President Trump this morning announced he will meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore on June 12th for talks over denuclearization. He tweeted, "We will both try to make it a very special moment for world peace." In a matter of months, President Trump has been able to get Kim Jong-un to at least question his nuclear ambitions. He got him to meet with the leader of South Korea and renew a relationship. He got him to release three American hostages. And I waited to see if people would criticize any of this. Thankfully, most people haven't. Most people, even begrudgingly, like Joy Behar over at The View this morning, begrudgingly giving the president some credit. There was this one thing in the New York Times. They published an article calling out Mike Pompeo for being in North Korea during the Iran news that unfolded, that we'd be pulling out of that agreement. And so President Trump went on Twitter to call them out because Pompeo was actually getting the three American prisoners. But then the New York Times sexual harasser Glenn Thrush retweeted the president to claim no one criticized Pompeo. He said that didn't happen. Yes, it did, except it 100% did. I'm literally looking at the story right now. At a key moment, Trump's top diplomat is against thousands of miles away. It's by Gardner Harris. In this article, they say the absence perplexed diplomats, that senior department officials were momentarily speechless, they say. When asked why the trip wasn't delayed, the article talked about how difficult it was to get him on the phone when he was flying because the feed would cut out mid-sentence. So it absolutely criticized Pompeo for being essentially AWOL. But Glenn Thrush just couldn't help himself. He had to go after the president on this because you can't exactly go after the president for freeing three American hostages. So you look for something around that story that you can be critical of. But let's be very clear, everything that has happened so far, and I'm hopeful, I'm not naive, Certainly possible that Kim Jong-un is only doing this to gain some more national and international attention. He could screw this deal up immediately. I don't know. I think both right now seem to indicate that they're motivated for some kind of agreement here, some kind of deal. But let's be clear. Up until this moment, everything that has been done by the president is Nobel Prize worthy. Nobel Peace Prize worthy. If this lasts, if this holds up, he should get the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, if he doesn't get it, he's good. See, Trump finds himself in a really good position. This is a really good position for him. Because obviously, if he gets it, he proves all the naysayers wrong. He says, you called me crazy. You said I wouldn't be able to do this job. Look, not only am I doing the job, not only am I going after the economy, improving the economy, I'm bringing actual world peace. And here's proof of that. If he doesn't get it, he's also a winner in all of this because then he's the victim of people treating him unfairly because of their bias, especially when you look at the context that President Obama did nothing when he got the Nobel Peace Prize. He did nothing at that point that was worthy of it. And everyone kind of acknowledged that, well, he gave a couple speeches, I guess. They just like the idea of what he stood for, even if he didn't end up backing it up. President Trump was asked about the Nobel Peace Prize yesterday, and actually, I thought he handled this very, very well. Listen to his response.
You deserve the Nobel Prize, do you think?
Everyone thinks so, but I would never say it. You know what I want to do? I want to get it finished. The prize I want is victory for the world, not for even here. I want victory for the world, because that's what we're talking about. So that's the only prize I want.
How classy was that response? The braggadocious Trump who goes on Twitter to say everything he does is amazing and the greatest ever. That was a really good response. He's talking like a leader. And the stakes on this particular issue, incredibly high. So I'm glad he's talking like a leader. I'm proud of what he's doing. I hope it lasts. I hope it's real. I hope it works. And we should all hope it works, regardless of whether or not we're Republicans or Democrats or socialists or independents or I don't know what I am. So that meeting, again, is scheduled for June 12th. It's going to happen in Singapore. We'll have some more details and context on that announcement later on, including at the top of the hour with Fox News, and then later on at 3 o'clock for the Todd Herman Show.